Topics that we're going to discuss today is the topic called tmura. Tmura means that if somebody has a karban, let's say he committed a sin, he had to bring a karban chatas, he put aside an animal as his karban chatas, and then he decides, you know, this animal's a little bit too good. Oh, I want to welcome back Fred first. This animal's too good, you know, I'd rather a different animal. So he said, this other animal, you take the place of the first animal. So not only was that an aveira, but both animals now have sanctity. That's the concept of tmura. So we'll see. This doesn't always apply. Tmura doesn't always apply. So we're on Daf Hamad Beis. We were discussing, you know, Reish Lakish's problem. Reish Lakish didn't understand the Mishnah. Why would there be a law that something is still holy, it still should be brought, but yet it's not going to register for its owner, it's not going to accomplish anything? Where do you ever find such a thing? And the answer that was given to Reish Lakish by Rabbi Elazar is you do find such a thing. You find it with a karban whose owner dies. So there's no point anymore for the person because he's dead, but the karban still is holy. It still would be brought. So now the Gemara says, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Gemara had last said, seven lines before the very end on Daf Hamad Beis, the Gemara had said that maybe the children who... who inherit the Ola of their mother, who was a Yoledes, who gave birth, they should also get atonement. They should get atonement of mitzvah saseh. Why are you so clear that when a karban's owner dies, the karban is brought and there's no atonement? Let there be atonement for the children. They also did mitzvah saseh that they should get atonement for. They missed out on mitzvah saseh. They need atonement for that. So the Gemara says like this now. One second. L'meimra, do you mean to say, d'kanya lehu, that when a parent dies, right, that's what we were up to, no?
Yeah.
L'meimra, d'kanya lehu, does this seem to say, that when a parent dies, a child owns the karban, the child inherits the karban gets bequeathed to the child. I have Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan said like this, let's say a man put aside a karban mincha, some flour and oil, and then he dies, and he has two sons. Kreva, the mincha is brought, it's not disqualified based on the fact that it is owned by a partnership. Normally a mincha can only be brought by a single person, not by a partnership. Now, if you're going to say that the children inherit the karban that their father owned once the father dies, but Hashem said about the mincha, nefesh, a single soul. Nefesh amar rachmana. Hashem said a single soul can bring the mincha, not a partnership. So the Gemara says back, v'lo kanyelu, do you think that when an owner dies, his child does not inherit the karban? V'am Reb Yochanan. What about the law that Rabbi Yochanan said about tzmura? A man who had set aside an animal as a karban, then he dies, and he has two sons, umeis, kreva, the animal can still be brought, but if one of the sons, or both of the sons, try to do the tzmura process, they try to say some other animal takes the place of this one, you don't have the law of tzmura. Now, if you see that the two children inherit it, that's why there can't be tzmura. Because now it's a karban owned by partners. And partners don't have the ability to do tzmura, because the Torah, when it talks about tzmura, only talks about in the singular, hamer yamiroso, not hamer yamiruoso. It doesn't talk about plural language. But if you're going to tell me that the children don't acquire, which was the source of your question, so imuri nami limru, so then it still belongs to the father who's dead. Then there should be the possibility of tmura too. So the Gemara says, no, really, the children do not inherit. And nevertheless, there's no longer the option of tmura. Shani asan damakra, because the pasuk says, imhamer yamir, if he will do tmura, the rabbi says, hayo resh, So that does include an inheritor, Hamer Yamir, extra language. That includes an heir. He also can do Tmura. But Hamer Yamir is all singular. So if it's all singular, it could have said Im Yamir. Why did it say Hamer Yamir? Since it's all singular, it's to say Echad Meimir. Only a single heir can do Tmura, Vein Shnayim Emirin, and two cannot. So it doesn't have to be that they necessarily inherit. And the reason why there's no Tmura is because it's a partnership, and partnership can't do Tmura. Maybe it's a special Pasuk. It's not a partnership. They really didn't own it. But there's a special Pasuk. Only a single heir has the ability to do Tmura, not when it's two heirs, not when it's two children inheriting, or not really inheriting, two children in the place of the father. Yeah, question, sorry, David.
Just a question on the Gemara's question. They're saying that if it wasn't inherited, then they would be able to.
Then you understand why they can't do Tmura.
I thought they were saying that you could do Tmura if it wasn't inherited.
No,
I'm saying if it was inherited, you could do Tmura. That was
no. If it was inherited by two, you understand why they can't do Tmura because partners can't do Tmura. Why then says, no, you don't even need to say this is a general law of partners. It's a special pasuk about the next generation that only one can do tmura, but not two.
But the point is that normally if it would be inherited by one, then they could do tmura.
Yeah, because he's now the owner.
That's that, okay.
Rabbi, if all these animals are all male or female?
Depends. Normally, as we learned in Horios, with the chatas, it's a female goat or a female sheep. An ola is normally a male animal. Depends on the carbon.
So what happens if that female animal on the way going to Beit HaMikdash all of a sudden gives a birth?
Yeah, we'll discuss it a lot.
So
it gets discussed a lot.
The baby is Kodesh too, like the mother? Or the baby is...
The baby is not really, no. We'll see. The child of a chatas is put to death. It depends on the carbon. But yeah, we'll talk about it a lot.
If the child is put to death...
The child of a chatas, yeah.
The meat of that child is not...
We'll get to it.
No? Okay. And also, Rabbi, all these korbanot can be bought by money. All kinds of korbanot that we have.
Buy the sheep in the markets and then you sanctify it. Yeah. Maskefler of Yaakov Minahar Pekod. Rav Yaakov of the Har Pekod asked the following question. Elameatus, if this is the case, Gabe Meiser. What about a man who put aside Meiser Sheni, put aside 10% of his produce to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat it in a state of purity in Jerusalem, and then he dies? Now we know that if he puts aside Meiser Sheni and he wants to redeem his own Meiser Sheni, he has to add a fifth to the value of the Meiser. The Pasuk says, V'im Ga'ol Yigael, and if redeem, he will redeem. The rabbi says Sayorish. So that's to say that an heir, a child of his who's inheriting him, also has to add a fifth. So if you have this drasha of Hamer Yam here, so say like this, Hachanami Echad Goel Vein Shnayim Goelim. If it's one heir, then he should add a fifth. But if there are two heirs, then they don't add a fifth. Because it's Goel Yigal, it's all in the singular tense. And that's not true. We know that even if it's two heirs who inherit their father's Meiser, and then they want to redeem it, they need to add a fifth. So Gemara says, no, shiny, Meiser by Meiser, it's different when two heirs inherit. If their father was a partner in the Meiser, and there was somebody else in the Meiser, and they would want, and her father wants to redeem his portion, he would have to add a fifth. So therefore, when he dies, and there are two heirs, they also need to add a fifth, even though it's two of them, even though the pasuk is in the singular terminology. Amar le Rav Asi le Rav Ashi. Rav Asi then said to Rav Ashi, Uminaf, and the very concept of the fact that an heir can do tmura, a single heir, not two heirs, because based on the pasuk, that should prove to you that an heir, in fact, inherits a karban. Because yamit bishlam akanyaluhu, if you're going to say that the child actually owns the karban that his father had dedicated and consecrated, hanedachad miyamemer. That's why the child, the single child, can do tmura. Eli Amit Lo Kanyelhu, but if he doesn't own it, Heichi Meimer, so then you have an animal that has to be brought, but he doesn't really own it. How could he be the one to do the tzmur on it? V'amar Rabavohu Amar Rav, Rabbi Yochanan. We know that Rabavohu said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, two halachos. Hamakdish Mosif Chomesh, Umiskaper, Oset Tmura. Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Yochanan said like this. Actually, three halachos. What happens when once somebody spends his own money for somebody else's help? So let's say the first case is a man dedicated an animal, made it holy, but not for myself, it's for Yaakov who needs to bring a chatas. I donate the chatas for him. So it's my money, but the kapara is for him, the atonement is for him. So if that animal were to get a blemish, so the halach is like this. So then if an animal has a blemish, you can redeem it and use the money for a different carbon. So who's, but in the redeeming, the owner himself has to add a fifth. So who's the owner himself? Hamakdish, the person who donated the animal, if he's redeeming, he's the one who's most of chomish. He's the one who adds the fifth. Umeskaper osetzmura. Whereas the one he redeemed it for is the one who can do the tzmura. So if I redeem, if I consecrated an animal for Yaakov, I can't do tzmura with it because it's not going to work for me. It's going to work for Yaakov. Yaakov is considered the owner in regards that if he did the tzmura, if he tried to exchange it for something else, both of them become kadosh. That work. He's the one who has that ability. And if I were to take some of my produce and give my produce as my sasheni so that my friend's produce should now be permitted to be eaten, I'm the one who can decide which Kohen gets this, my Sarishon, or if I give Truma, I can decide which Kohen gets the Truma. So, what do you see from the second law that, you see that if I donated an animal for somebody else, that someone else is the one who has the ability to do Tzmura. So you see that who is the one who can do tzmura? The one who's getting atonement. So what do we have? Our whole discussion was, you know, we said maybe after the mother dies and her child inherits the animal of the Ola, so the child had all sorts of mitzvahs say that he didn't do, so he should bring the Ola and he should get atonement. So we said, no, he can't get atonement. He doesn't own it. He doesn't get atonement. What do you mean he doesn't get atonement? If he can do tzmura, if it's a single child, he can do tzmura. Obviously, he gets atonement because only those who get atonement can do the tzmura on it. So the Gemara says like this: it's like a half atonement. Mikiva lo mechapra. When a child inherits his father's karban or his mother's karban, he doesn't get the full kapara. Mikufya mechapra. He gets atonement that floats on top. He doesn't get like the real atonement. He gets a little bit of atonement. So he gets a little bit of atonement. That's why he can do tzmura, because it's true, the guy getting atonement is the one who can do tzmura. But he doesn't get full atonement. That's what we were saying before. He doesn't get full atonement from the karban of his father.
Rabbi, these animals, can they be exchanged? You know, a Kurdish animal change for another animal?
No, that's tzmura. Then they both become holy.
They both become holy? So the guy who does that, it's to get lashes or something? Or?
Maybe, yeah, because he did a prohibition. Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't get lashes because it's a sin by words, but in theory, he should have gotten lashes. He did a lav.
Unless the first animal that was for korbanot had a blemish.
Good, that's right.
Then it's a different story.
That's
here.
Right.
Okay,
Rabbi, let's go. Yeah.
Step in and do the fifth. It's only the two parties that can do that?
Only the owner himself has to add the fifth.
Oh, I thought we said that the person who donated also could add
who
the
it's donated for has to add the fifth, because he's considered the owner.
Oh, so the one who originally donated on behalf of his friend, he cannot add the fifth.
No, I'm sorry, the opposite. He's the one who adds the fifth, the one who donated. The one who was donated for is the one who can do the tzmura.
He cannot add his own
He does
fifth.
Not have to add the fifth.
So there's only one person, only the original person who bequeathed
has to add the fifth. Very good. So going back to our Mishnah talks about the topic of a karban, which is consecrated, and it was the service. The Mishnah gives the example of the slaughtering, but it's true about all the other services. The services were not done for the sake of this consecration. It was done for a different consecration. So let's say the animal was consecrated as an ola, as an ascent offering, and instead it was slaughtered as a shlamin. So what did the Mishnah say? It should still be brought, but it doesn't work for its owner. Okay, what does that mean? It doesn't work for its owner. Iboilu, that a question in the yeshiva. Kipra mashabo, does this animal that's brought wipe away the sin that it was brought for? Olo kipru, does it not wipe away the sin? Does it wipe away the sin or not? So Amar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Yidi, Rav Shisha son of Rav Yidi, saying, "Mistabed lo kipru, it can't wipe away the sin. If it's going to wipe away the sin, sheni lama huba. What do we mean when we say it didn't work for the owner and another one has to be brought? Why are you bringing another one once the sin is wiped away?" So Gemara says, "Velamai lo kipru." So 1 second, if it's not going to wipe away sin, because that's why you have to bring a second one, so lama hukar, why do you bring this one? What's the point of a carbon if it's not going to wipe away a sin? So Amar Rav Ashi answered, Rav Shesha breid Rav Idi hachi kakashilu. Rav Shesha breid Idi, he was asking the following question. Iyamit bishlama, if you're going to say lo kipru, that the first carbon does not wipe away the sin, it doesn't stop the punishments from the sin from coming. Lo kipru shalo lishmo. So if you're going to say that these carbonos do not wipe away the that they don't wipe away the punishments. So then I understand. Shalol l'shmo mikoch l'shmo kasi. Initially, it had been dedicated with the right intent. Then the slaughtering was done with the wrong intent. So since when it was dedicated, it was going to go and it was going to accomplish things, you should fill off it. And I understand v'sheni lamuba. I understand why you have to bring a second one. L'chaper. Now finally stop the sin. Eliam, if you're going to tell me, kipru, that the first one already accomplished stopping punishment from the sin. Hasheni lamuba. So why would we have to bring a second one? So that's why Rav Shisha figured.
That's a question.
That in fact, the carbon is not going to create atonement. That's what he figured.
Yeah. Rabbi, this carbon that wipe out the sins, okay? But shouldn't it be simultaneously with the guy doesn't repeat the sin anymore?
Yeah, he has to do tshuva. That's true.
Tshuva, okay. But if he goes around tomorrow and that's the same...
If he did tshuva, now it's a new beginning. He did tshuva.
So he has to do one more animal and go through the whole thing?
Yeah.
I think it should be combinations of you know...
It has to come along with tshuva.
And that, you know...
It has to be tshuva. So now another question about wiping away sins. Ibailu had a question in the yeshiva. We know that an ola wipes away neglecting to perform a mitzvah saseh. What about if that aseh happened after the ola was set aside? Aseh delachar afrasha mechapra, olo mechapra. If a person puts aside an ola because he didn't shake lulav on sukkahs, and then after he put aside the ola, he did another aseh. He missed out on another aseh. Would this ola work for the sin that was done after it was put aside? So do we say, well, the ola should be like a chatas? Ma chatas to kodem afrasha in the lach afrasha lo. A chatas, a sin offering for a lo saseh that was done by mistake, only works for the lo saseh that were done, and then after they were done, the carbon was put aside for them. Those lo saseh that were done after the carbon was put aside, they're not going to get atonement. Afachanamis, the sin with the ola, to kodem afrasha in the sins, namely the lack of an aseh that was done before it was put aside, it works for lachar afrasha, but after the carbon was put aside, then he did the sin, then lo, doesn't get atonement. Or maybe lo damil achatas. Maybe it's not like a chatas. Why? The chatas, I'll call chet v'chet b'ilasu yichad achatas. When it regards to a chatas, each sin gets its own chatas. Each act gets its own chatas. V'acha, but when you get to an ola, lots of lack of aseis get fulfilled, get wiped away with one ola. So here, kivan di kakam asei gabe machapra, since even if you'd have many lacks of asei, one ola could atone for all of it. So asei delachar afrasha namim machapra. Maybe the lack of an asei done after you put aside the carbon should also get atonement with this carbon. So the Gemara says, I'll try to prove the answer to this question. Tashma, it says about the ola that there has to be smicha. The Torah says, v'samach yado arosha olav, v'nir tzalo l'chaper olav. The owner has to lean on the top of the ola. It'll be a source of favor for him to create atonement for him. Now, 1 second. V'chi smicha mechaperes, leaning on the head of the animal going to be what gets the atonement. Hello, ein kapar el b'dam. What gets the atonement is, as we mentioned yesterday, the services of the blood. The slaughtering, the catching, the walking, and the throwing onto the altar. That's what gets the atonement. Shenamar, as the verse says, Ki adamu ba'nefesh yechaper. For the in the blood is the soul, and that's what creates the atonement. So what do you mean, v'samach v'nir tzalo l'chaper? What is the meaning of the verse that he's going to lean and that's going to create atonement? What it means is like this. If he relates to the leaning on the carbon as some type of an extra thing and not really necessary, and he doesn't do it, then mala alav akasuv kilo lo keeper. Then the Torah says it's as if he didn't get atonement, but really the keeper, he did get atonement. In other words, smicha is part of what would get you mitzvah min hamuvchar. To get the best way of offering the karbon, the best mitzvah would be to lean on the ola. If he didn't lean on the ola, it'll still accomplish its goal. But it wasn't mitzvah min hamuvchar. It was like 70% of the mitzvah. It wasn't 100% of the mitzvah. He got the mitzvah, but he didn't do it in the best way. Okay, so now, let's now understand this. My love, isn't the case of the Braisa, the keeper, I say the kodem afrasha. When the Braisa says, if you did smicha, then you get, so the Gemara says, that the Braisa said, if you didn't do smicha, you still get atonement, but it wasn't full atonement. So what does that mean? What do you mean you get atonement? It means you get atonement for all those assays that you didn't do. And then after that neglect, you put aside this carbon for it. Low keeper, what does it mean you didn't get atonement? You low keeper. It means you didn't get atonement. Assay to smicha. You didn't get atonement for neglecting to do the mitzvah assay of leaning on the animal. Davli assay to lachra afrasha. Because that mitzvah assay, you should lean on the carbon, is an assay that's happening after you already dedicated the animal. So you see that an assay after the dedication of the animal does not get atoned for by the animal. So Amar Rava, Rava said, no, that's too much already. Maisa the smicha kamar. So you're talking about the mitzvah of leaning on the animal of the carbon. Shiny awesome. There it's different. Kol kam lo shachit. As long as he hasn't slaughtered the animal, he hasn't really neglected that mitzvah, because he can still lean on it. Pamorus moch kai. He could still lean on the animal. Amos kahavi asay. When is there the neglecting of this mitzvah asay? Li'achar shchita. Once the animal is slaughtered and you didn't lean on it. Well, li'achar shchita lo kami bayil. No one ever said that a sin done after the slaughtering that the animal should atone for. It was never an option. The option was that maybe a sin done after the separating there should be atonement for. So therefore, this braisa is not a proof to this question. We still have the question of, if you neglected an assay after you set aside the ola, could the ola work or not?
Well, so the question was prior to smichas.
What's that?
There's two questions, though. Like, after you set it aside?
After you set it aside, you then didn't do an assay. Would this carbon still work for that assay, too?
Before you do the leaning.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Not, leaning we tried to prove, because leaning is itself a mitzvah assay.
Leaning or put your hand on the animal. Or
that's what they do. They put their hands and lean on it.
Lean on it. Like we do Erev Yom Kippur with the chickens.
We don't lean on it. We never lean on a bird.
You turn it around your head 3 times. You know?
Yeah, but that's unique.
What's the difference between that and leaning, Rabbi? You know.
It's very different. You're not putting all your weight on the head of a chicken. No, it's not.
I mean, you really go sit on the animal? Is that what?
Yeah, you put your hands on the head of the animal and you lean on it. Yeah, on a cow, a big animal.
Right, so it's not ma'akiv in the end, smicha.
Smicha's not ma'akiv. That's what we're going to talk about now. So Amalei Ravuna Breidra, Amalei Ravuna Bar Yehuda LeRava. Ravuna said to Rava, Ema, I could tell you the price is like this. Kiper Gavra. The carbon that didn't have smicha creates atonement for the person that he's not going to be punished because the carbon was brought. Now turning to Vavam and Beis. And what does it mean, lo kiper, it didn't create atonement? It means lo kiper kame shmaya, it didn't create atonement in front of God. In other words, as Rashi says, l'nachas ruach l'kono, to give God pleasure. It didn't give God pleasure. Lo avin mitzvah min amuvchar, because he didn't do it in the best way. But it created atonement. Hilotznan. Don't we have a similar idea with similar language? Keeper, it created atonement, but lo keeper, it didn't create atonement in regards to the shemen amishcha. In regards to, I'm sorry, not the shemen amishcha, the shemen, the oil that goes on a mitzora. Milotznan. Didn't we learn in a Mishnah? When a person is a mitzora, so once he becomes pure, so some oil has to be put on his earlobe and on the thumbs of his hands and feet.
Big toes.
And a big toe. That's right. So the Torah says, Va'anosar b'shemen asher al kaf, and the leftover oil that's in the palm of the Kohen, Yitain al Rosh HaMitzaher, you should put it all on the head of the person becoming pure. V'chiper al HaKohen lifnei Hashem, and the Kohen will atone before Hashem. So it says, the Brisa says, Im Nitan, if the leftover was put on his head, keeper, then there's an atonement. V'im lo nasan, but if he didn't put the leftover, lo keeper, he didn't create an atonement, and this person, this Mitzora, would still not be able to bring Korbanos. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, it's a view of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, shiare mitzvahein, the leftover oil is not a part of the atonement, it's just the leftover of a mitzvah. Therefore, bein nitan, whether the oil was put on the head, bein shalo nitan, or it wasn't put, keeper, he did get atonement just with the oil being on the thumbs, the malin alav kilo keeper, but it's as if he didn't get atonement. So what does that mean? He got atonement and he didn't get atonement? So my kilo keeper, what does it mean? It's as if he didn't get atonement. Elaim with me boy last year carbon achrina, if we're going to say it means he didn't get atonement, he has to bring all the carbonosol over again. But didn't you say beinitan beinonitan keeper? Whether he did put them or he didn't put them, he gets atonement. Ella, what does it mean? It means what we were saying here. Keeper gavra. He got atonement. The sin is blocked. Lo keeper kameshmaya. But he didn't get atonement in regards to giving God favor. Because he didn't do mitzvah min hamilcha, he didn't do the mitzvah the best way. So hachanami. So that's what's going on when a carbon is brought without smicha, keeper. It creates atonement and that it stops the punishment of the sin. Lo keeper, it doesn't create atonement. It wasn't the perfect carbon. It wasn't what gives God pleasure. It wasn't mitzvah min hamilcha. So the Gemara says, no, you can't do it again. You ended up with having done a mitzvah 70% of the way. The Gemara says, maybe not, but hasam nami, maybe over there, it's keeper matan bahonos. Maybe what it means is that when it says he atoned, he didn't atone, it doesn't mean that he got atonement, but it wasn't 100%. Maybe it means it's only part of the way. He got the atonement of putting it on the hands. Lo keeper matnos rosh, he didn't get the atonement of putting it on the head. So Rabbi Akiva holds that if you didn't put it on the head, you didn't fulfill your obligation at all, you have to redo the whole thing. And maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying, he got atonement, he didn't get atonement, which means he got half of it. He got the hands, he didn't get the head, he has to restart with that point. Take oil and put it on the head. But he doesn't have to restart from scratch with the karbanos, so it's not necessarily a proof that when the language of a brice or a mishnah is keeper lo keeper, it means it was a kapara, but it just isn't mitzvah min hamuvchar. It's not the best way of doing the mitzvah. Maybe it means in a certain aspect it didn't get kapara. It wasn't a complete thing. So now we're back in this question. Let's go back to the original question. The original question was, if I put aside an ola, and after I put aside the ola, I neglect to do a mitzvah saseh, and then I bring the ola that I'd put aside, does this ola work for that lack of an asay too? So Tashma, coming to your proof from the karbanos of Shavuos that are coming up. Reb Shimon says, Kifsi Atzeres, the sheep that are brought on the Chag HaShavuos, Lamaim Bayim, why are they brought? So Gemara says, one second. Kifsi Atzeres, Shlamim Ninhu, the sheep of Shavuos are karbanos Shlamim. They don't have to atone for anything. So what do you mean, why are they coming? So, okay, he wasn't talking about the kivsei atzeres. Ela se'irei atzeres. He's talking about the goats, the se'ir l'chaper, the goats of a karban chatos that are brought on Shavuos by the entire nation. Lama hein bain. What are they accomplishing? What sins are they trying to neutralize? Answers the Gemara, al tumas mikdash v'kadashav. To wipe away the sins of Jews walking onto the Temple Mount while they are impure, or Jews eating karbanos while they are impure. All right. Rabbi Shimon now continues. Nizrak da Moshel Rishon. So once the first chatas is brought and its blood is thrown on the altar, Sheni Lama Karev. Why bring a second one? Why bring a second goat? So he answered, Al Tuma She'ira Bein Zelazeh. It's for whatever impurity happened between the first and the second. It's not a lot of time. So, and more meatas, you say from now, you know, Yisrael, lack of carbon, same, b'chalis, b'chal shah. Really, the problem of making the temple impure is happening all the time. And really, the Jews should be offering all day carbonos chatas for the sin of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav. Because here on Shavuos, it's done within like a couple of minutes. So you see that every couple minutes, the sin is re-happening. So it really should be that way all the time. Ela shechisei chakasuv. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanus. He didn't want to make it too expensive for us. And even though really we should be offering this carbon all the time, he only said, okay, Shavuos, you do it like that, but not all the time.
Okay. Okay.
That's the price. A carbon ola, not a carbon chatas.
I thought the carbon for Rosh Chodesh...
Also, yeah, all these karbanos on Yom Tov for this sin. That's what we learned in Masechta Shavuos. So now the Gemara asks. Now we get to what our point was. For Hachana over here, we're talking about a sin of defiling the temple. We're talking about a sin that happened after the carbon was put aside, right? Because the two karbanos were put aside before Shavuos. And we're saying that the sin is what happened after carbon 1, before carbon 2 was brought. So that means it's a sin that happened after the carbon was put aside. And nevertheless, kamachapra. Nevertheless, the second one is going to create atonement for it. So you see that sins that happen after a carbon was set aside also get atonement with that carbon. So Gemara says, you're right. If the case would have been that they put aside the two karbanos before Shavuos, then you'd be right. If they all put them aside at the same time, then you'd prove that a sin done after a carbon was put aside, the carbon can still atone for it. But we know it's the case of the karbanos of Shavuos. It was bezeach harzeh. First he put aside one, the nation puts aside one karbon, and then 20 minutes later, or an hour later, they put aside the second karbon. And when we talk about the sins done between the first and the second, it's not the sins done between the offering of the first and the offering of the second. It's the sins done between the dedication of the first and the dedication of the second. And only a sin done before the dedication can get atonement with this animal, but not a sin done after the dedication. So the Gemara asks, are you going to tell me that the pasuk is only referring to a karbon when they dedicated one and then they dedicated the other? That's not the case. The pasuk says you bring two karbanos, implying when no matter how you happen to dedicate the karbanos. So Rav Papa said, listen, you're not going to prove anything here. Karbanos sibur kamarta. You're asking about the chatas of Shavuos. These are karbanos of the community. Shiny karbanos sibur to lev bezdin kamasna leyem. When it's the karbanos of the community, so even if they were dedicated at once, the bezdin makes a condition that even if they were put aside at once, but nevertheless, the holiness is not going to happen at once. They're not going to become consecrated at once. One's going to become consecrated, and then a little bit later, the second one will become consecrated. The consecration will be staggered, so that if there's any sin that happens between the consecration of the first and the consecration of the second can pick up that sin. But you don't see a proof that a sin done after the consecration can also be atoned for with this animal.